This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Security Council resolutions, regime change, troop buildup, all phrases that swirl through the media din about the possibility of an American-led attack on Iraq. War would affect us all, but it has a special impact on young people. Though America's all-volunteer armed forces are older on average than they were in the days of the draft, fighting still falls disproportionately on the young. Many young people have seen their brothers and sisters or their parents called up for duty in the Gulf. Yesterday, thousands of high school and college students across the country participated in Books Not Bombs protests, and pro or con or undecided, all will share the future that would be shaped by a conflict. This hour, we want to hear from young people. What are you saying to each other about the possibility of war in Iraq? Are you nervous, or is it off your screen entirely? Where do you get your news about the war? Do you find yourself agreeing or disagreeing with your classmates? We'd also like to hear from you if you're enlisted, if you have friends or siblings or parents in the military. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Later on in this hour, we'll talk with Alan Simpson and Robert Reich about what advice they might offer former President Clinton and former Senator Dole as they begin Bill and Bob's excellent adventure on 60 Minutes. Well, joining us now from Youth Radio Studios in Berkeley, California, is Phil Herrick. He's a reporter for Youth Radio and a high school senior, and very good of you to join us.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Where have you been going, and what kinds of stories have you been doing on the war so far?
Well, you mentioned yesterday there was a big student walkout. Well, that was also really big here in the Berkeley area. In fact, like, a lot of youth are mobilizing recently against the war, specifically at this time, because it's such a time of school budget cutbacks, and they see, like, the increased military spending as, you know, they see an incongruity there.
Where have you been going, not just Berkeley?
Well, actually, Youth Radio, we collect stuff from all over. We have students who are actually, or former Youth Radio people who are actually in the armed service. One is deployed in Kuwait right now. We have one that's waiting to be deployed in Wyoming. But yeah, there's also, like, we hear from people in Israel, in Iraq, all over the place.
I understand one of the places you visited was Travis Air Force Base.
Yeah, that's right.
And there are kids there at school?
Yeah, well, I talked to some youth that were involved in the youth center at Travis. The school is actually off base, but they have, like, a youth center on base. And, yeah, those youth, I mean, like, the teens I talked to there were pretty profoundly affected by the, like, fear of war. It seems pretty profound. Some of the students I talked to, they had parents deployed, and they were dealing with possibility. In fact, if both parents are deployed for children of military families, the case is they have to go live with someone else. And for the case, for the two boys that I talked to, they'd have to move all the way to Missouri to live with their grandparents in the case that their father, who they were staying with right now, was deployed.
All of us have to be nervous about the prospect of a war, but when your parents are called up, that's an entirely different thing entirely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. By the way, we want to hear from all kinds of young people today, whether your parents were called up, or like the people that Phil Herrick was just talking about, or whether you're in school, or whether you have siblings who've been called up, or whether you're in the military or ROTC. Give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is totn@npr.org. And I wanted to ask you, Phil, at the peace rally, were you there yesterday?
No, I wasn't there yesterday, but I was at the march on the February 16th.
So, what are the reasons that kids are telling you for reasons that they've decided to attend? Though obviously you weren't at the one yesterday.
Well, there's a lot of different reasons, and there's people coming out from all different perspectives. What actually I found some of the more interesting perspectives are, like, minority youth are actually getting really involved, because some of them are pretty directly affected by, like, the INS detentions and deportations for visa violations. So a lot of them are, like, really, I saw, like, youth groups like that at the march in San Francisco on the 16th. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they're getting, there's, like I said, there's mixed there's from all different perspectives.
Do kids seem particularly well-informed about foreign policy and about the debates going on at the United Nations? Are they listening to Secretary Powell make his presentations, that sort of thing?
Well, yes and no. There's some people that are, they're just maybe not that political and they're not that informed. But there are also other people that are extremely informed and they're leading rallies and they're listening to, reading books about it. And so both sides of the spectrum, totally.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to our first caller, who's Tim, who joins us on the line from Haverford, Pennsylvania.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good. I would have to say that my biggest concern would be that if we do go to war and override a United Nations vote for it, I think that it will just lead to problems with this kind of action being taken by other countries in the future, like Russia or China,
mm-hmm.
because they'll say, well, the U.S. did it, and what then? Are we going to be getting into war with those countries to stop them from doing what we wanted to do?
How old are you, Tim?
And how old am I?
Yeah.
20.
20. And do you go to school?
Yes, I do. I used to go to George Washington down in D.C., actually.
Know it well. It's not all that far from here.
No, I left there after last year. I just didn't have the greatest experience in living there. But Philadelphia has been much better.
Yeah. Where do you get your news on the war?
I listen to NPR quite often because I work as a delivery driver, and so I get a lot of time to listen. And I listen at home and read through the internet, New York Times.
And do you talk about
to find my news? You know, I don't want to listen to what I hear on 3, 6, and 10,
right.
ABC and all them.
No, I understand that, and diversity of news sources is always a good idea. Do you talk to your friends about this a lot?
Yes, quite often.
Yeah, and they feel pretty much the same way you do. Do you think?
Yeah, we just we find ourselves asking why all the time, and there are so many answers for that question, and I don't understand what it takes to get people to think that. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know.
Okay,
it just
Tim.
Makes me more afraid of the future that if we do go to war, there's just going to be more people that are going to find us arrogant instead of humble in our power.
Okay, thanks very much, Tim. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye bye. Phil Herrick, is that one of the opinions you're hearing a lot?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely people perceive that if the United States were to act unilaterally or go against against the UN, then that might be followed by other nations. I definitely think that the youth are definitely aware of that and very concerned.
We're worried about precedent. All right, let's go now to Brett, who's on the line with us in San Diego.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I'm in the Marine Corps here in San Diego, and I've got 8 days left on my enlistment. I am one of the fortunate ones to be allowed to get out at the end of my contract. However, I'm still extremely worried about getting called back in, because I can be called back in up to 3 years after.
Sure, and isn't there something called stop loss where they can ask you not to leave?
Exactly. That's exactly what it's called. It's called stop loss, and they stop all the Marines from just changing jobs or changing bases and everything. Fortunately, I put in a request up the chain of command, and it came back down that I could get out.
Mm-hmm.
However, I can still be called back in once I'm out.
Because you're on active reserves, yeah.
It's called inactive reserves.
Oh, okay. Correct me.
And I'm completely against the war. Completely against the cause, and it worries me. I'm a full-time student at San Diego City College here, and I've seen some of the protests that went on yesterday, and I agree fully with it.
Obviously, you must talk to a lot of people in your unit. I mean, what do they think?
A lot of them are deployed. We had, in January, February, a lot of Marines left out from here heading over there, and their general consensus, though, is that we're doing the right thing.
So
I just don't agree.
But when there's disagreement, you guys have managed to talk to each other without screaming and yelling.
Oh yeah, it doesn't I definitely don't, the topic doesn't get that heated. Hmm. Yeah, it's just a matter of opinion, differences of opinion.
Now, obviously, you had planned to leave the military before all of this happened, right?
Definitely. Yeah, I've been planning to get out and just go to school for the last year, I guess, you know. And I've been in 5 years. March 15th is the end of my contract. I just really feel fortunate to be getting out and not having to go fight. Which, you know, go fight for something, honestly, I just don't believe in. I don't believe in what the cause is.
Well, Brett, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate your candor.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Good luck.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
And why don't we go now to Philip, and Philip is on the line with us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, Neil.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Philip. Pleasure to be on the show. I'm in the Arizona National Guard. I graduated from Arizona State University political science degree. The level of professionalism I've encountered in the National Guard as far as those being prepared to go overseas or to go wherever the fight may bring us has been excellent. I've been actually very surprised by it. I'm very new to the National Guard, but although there's been a lot of disagreement as far as whether we should be there or
mm-hmm.
not, the fact that everyone has really been ready to go has really impressed me.
And, all the psychological studies and the analysts say that, you know, when people do go into combat, it's not necessarily that they're fighting for the cause or even the country, but because of the camaraderie and then the guy to the left and the guy to the right.
Certainly, most often for each other.
Yeah.
What I have often heard as far as criticism has mainly been of the way the foreign policy has been approached. Actually, the way domestic policy has been approached by President Bush, that's been the biggest complaint that I've heard complaint that I have as well as others that I've heard, but that hasn't changed the fact that everyone's ready to go.
Are there people in favor?
Oh, there certainly are people in favor, and they do go back and forth, but even the ones who disagree with how President Bush has approached this policy, still many of them favor going over to Iraq and taking care of what needs to be taken care of, in their opinion, as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks very much. And your unit has not been activated yet?
No, it has not.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I wanted to read an email that we got from Amanda. My dad, she writes, is a lieutenant colonel in the reserve. The battalion he commands was mobilized on February 24th. They're now training at Fort Hood. I feel if I support anti-war, I am not supporting my dad and his troops, and I was wondering if anyone else had that same feeling of choosing one or the other. Phil Herrick, you've been talking to some people whose parents are in that situation, or they're in that situation with their parents being called up. Did you have any insight on that?
Yeah, actually, that's really interesting. Some of the people I talked to at the Air Force base were in exactly that predicament, that actually this girl, her father was deployed, and she was kind of hesitant, had some concerns about the war. And yeah, again, totally, that's that even like within military families and within militaries, like all your callers have been saying, there's definitely like both sides of the issue. Some people are for the war. Some people, I mean, it goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm. We just have about 30 seconds left with you, Phil. Of the opinions that you've been able to gather, and you're there in California, what's the most interesting you've heard?
Well, specifically in San Francisco, it's really interesting, the No Child Left Behind requirements and the military recruitment in out of school seems to be, I mean, it's pretty, people are pretty passionate about that. And actually, like, Mission High School in San Francisco was pretty vehemently opposed to allowing private information on, given out. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely, teens are very involved, I think, in that.
Phil Herrick, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Phil Herrick is a reporter with Youth Radio, and he was with us from the studios of Youth Radio in Berkeley, California. When we come back, more of your calls and emails, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, TOTN, at npr.org. I'm Neil Cohn, and it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about how much kids know about the potential war with Iraq. We especially want to hear from younger members of our audience. Where do you get your news about the war? Are you paying much attention to it? Do you wish your parents and teachers would talk more or maybe less about this issue? If you're a teacher or a parent, do you talk with your kids about the war? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address, TOTN@NPR.org. Two people who spend their days paying attention to kids' opinions join us now. The first is Shelley Wilfong. She teaches U.S. government at Goshen High School in Goshen, Indiana. And she's with us from member station WVPE in Elkhart, Indiana. Good to have you on the program.
It's nice to be here.
Also with us is Jane Sangster. She's on the phone from New York City, where she's vice president of MTV News, which has been programming shows to address young people's concerns about the war. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I have to compliment you, Jane Sangster. Your network is on the news wires today after a taping of a program with British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. It's really a kind of a forum where young people could ask questions and, you know, about what's the current situation is, and really going directly to somebody that is right in that game right now.
And that's going to be broadcast all across the world.
Yes, it is.
And in this country, starting when?
On the 10th.
On March 10th.
Yes.
So that's about 4 days from now.
Yes.
All right, so people will get a chance to see it. And I know that you've been also doing other programs about the war. MTV is not thought of immediately as a news source, but I guess a lot of kids do watch it for that.
Definitely. We have a news department, MTV News, and we have definitely been airing a number of pieces. We found out from our audience that the, you know, going to war and the war with Iraq is one of their number one concerns right now, so we really wanted to address that.
Mm-hmm. Shelley, how does that compare with your experience at Goshen University? Are people there vitally concerned about this issue?
Oh, yes. A lot of the students feel it's a very emotional topic for a lot of the students for a wide variety of reasons. We have a diverse population of students. We have some students who are pacifists, who are adamantly opposed to any type of military intervention. And then we also have some students who are already pre-enlisted into the military, and they will be leaving for boot camp shortly after graduation. So we've had a lot of tension building in our school. So we've had to deal with that in a variety of ways.
Tension what, in the hallways?
In the hallways, in the cafeteria, a lot of students talking to one another, disagreeing with one another about what should be done. Discussions not taking place in the classroom, but rather in the informal areas. That was a concern to our principal for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to the social studies teachers and asked us to work with a variety of students that had differing opinions and create a solution to this problem.
And what'd you do?
The students, along with the economics teacher and myself, we came up with a student forum where we had a panel of seven students from varying backgrounds and opinions, lead a discussion with about a third of the student body at Goshen High School. We have about 1,600 students, so there was a little over 500 students who were there.
That's a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, it was a very good turnout, and I think that shows the deep concern that students do have about this. It was an excellent forum, and it really did a lot to ease the tension between the varying sides. They were able to see that there is a way to disagree with each other in an appropriate manner that is perfectly fine for schools. So they were allowed to express their feelings, and it really turned into a teachable moment rather than a distraction to the school.
Jane Sangster, a teachable moment. Is that what you think at MTV as well?
Definitely. We're hearing the same things from our audience, is that, you know, they're really worried about this, and they're really still trying to make up their minds how they feel about it. And they want just some of the basic information, too, and that's what we're trying to get out to them, just some of the basics of why are we doing this? What does this mean? Who are the different people that you keep hearing about? And what are their roles? Some of those kind of questions. And we're really going out there as well just to gauge what they have to say and asking them questions about how they feel about all the different issues.
Well, let's get some more callers involved. Our number, by the way, is 800-989-8255. Email totn@npr.org. And our next caller is David, who's on the line with us from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hello.
Hi.
I've been listening and watching on television all the reports about anti-war protesters across the country. A lot of them are younger people. I'm a 22-year-old college student at Grand Valley State University outside of Grand Rapids here. And one thing that doesn't seem to be covered is the, I don't want to say pro-war movement, but the support of President Bush in his policy towards Iraq from college students. Now, we don't go out and protest and hold rallies because nobody's really for war. Nobody really wants war to happen. But from time to time, it does seem a necessary evil in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, when you look at places from Berkeley and New York, which are traditional liberal areas, you will see a lot of anti-Bush, anti-war type feelings coming out of there. But there seems to be so little focus on the pro-Bush movement in more conservative areas of the country.
Well, Shelley Wilfong, Goshen, Indiana, not known as a hotbed of liberalism?
No. Well, one of the things that we did at our school by having the forum was it showed that the students could express their emotions and kind of protest in a non-disruptive way. We only had a handful of students who left school yesterday for the student walkout, because, and many of them said, why leave school when we are able to voice our opinion here at school? And I think that's what a lot of students are trying to do when we have the anti-war rallies, is they're just trying to have a place where they can hear their side and their opinions.
But also, Goshen, if memory serves, there's a fairly large Mennonite community around
yes,
there.
Yes, it's a very...
So
yeah,
that would be the source
large
of the pacifists. Yeah.
Right, okay. Yes. We have a very large Mennonite community. Mm-hmm.
David, as you go around and talk to people on campus there in Grand Rapids, is this a hotly debated issue? Are people discussing it?
It is something that is discussed, and there. I don't want to say that there are no anti-war people here in West Michigan. There certainly are, but it seems like more attention, because they're more visible and more vocal, is given to the anti-war group, when it seems the pro-Bush group is sort of ignored, because we're not out holding signs saying we want to bomb Iraq and we want to,
right,
you know, invade another country, because nobody really wants to do it. I'm sure the president doesn't want to do it, but at times throughout history, it is a necessary step that has to be taken.
Do you feel like, and this was a phrase that got some disrepute back in the 60s and 70s, but do you feel sometimes like a silent majority?
Most definitely. And it's, again, it's because we're not out there saying, let's go to war, that it's almost like we don't exist.
Okay, David, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, Neil.
Appreciate it. Let's go now to Lucas, and Lucas is on the line with us from Ithaca, New York.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Well, I've actually been involved in organizing a number of debates at local high schools in my area. I'm actually a college student myself, so I've got a pretty good sense just in my own experiences in debating folks who are in favor of the war. I myself am against it, so I've been in the situation hearing a lot of high school students and what their opinions are.
And what are you hearing?
I think that most of the high school students in my area are remarkably well-informed. And in fact, I mean, some of the central things that a lot of Americans are missing out on, like, for instance, there was a Knight Ridder survey asking Americans, you know, what percentage of people thought that some of the 9/11 attackers were Iraqis. Most Americans got that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
About nuclear weapons and links with Al-Qaeda. Most Americans got those wrong. But the high school students I'm meeting with, most of them seem to have a very good foundation in which to start the debate.
What are their sources of news?
I think a lot of people, you know, are reading the mainstream press, but also a lot of people go to alternative sources. I myself go to this website called Z Magazine quite
mm-hmm.
often, and people go to indiemedia.org and other sources. But I think it's important, again, to get a whole wide range including, you know, organizations that are mobilizing against the war, but also reading what some of the arguments are in favor coming from the Bush administration itself.
Since we have the vice president from MTV News on with us, is that a source for news that people cited?
Personally, I don't think so too much. I think it's kind of seen as kind of like bubblegum pop culture and not necessarily getting at some of the debate itself. But I actually got a call several months ago from someone from MTV who was interested in covering some protests that we were organizing here. So, I mean, if they're covering it, that's great. I mean, more power to them if more people are going to be hearing critical and independent voices. But I don't think people should be relying on MTV.
Jane Sangster, I think that's good news and bad news there.
Well, I think, you know, we're hoping to create a place where young people can go to hear news in their voice. Certainly, young people were finding, you know, they're watching TV, they're going on the Internet quite a bit to find out information, and we really want to serve as a community where they can be heard, you know, and we're trying to cover both sides of the issue. There are, you know, they're really split over the U.S. taking military action. About 51% of them are in support of it, and then there's the other half that really, you know, they may be silent and not really sure, and then there's the ones that are out protesting. We're trying to reach all of them and give them the voice and kind of serve as a community for them to speak out on our channel.
Shelley Wilfong, I wonder, as a teacher, do you feel the need to be even-handed, balanced as well?
Oh, absolutely. And when you get into emotional topics like this, it becomes a very difficult thing to do. As a social studies teacher, I work really hard to make sure that I try to show all angles and not favor one side or another in my classroom. Sometimes that's really tough, but I think it's something that needs to be done. I do want to say I commend the MTV and Jane for doing that news program. I think that that's a wonderful way to reach young kids.
Thank you.
And Lucas, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Jane Sangster, if there is a conflict, is MTV planning to cover that as well?
Yes, we do plan to hit the air with live reports immediately, really kind of filling in the audience on what's going on. We plan to not only have our reporters going out there, but we're also working with CBS News for some of the minute-by-minute coverage as well.
And so you think that it could become a primary source and that students and kids wouldn't have to necessarily go somewhere else to get news?
Certainly, they can come to us. We want to be able to cover as much as possible. And if there are big things happening, we're going to work with CBS as far as that goes to really get the up to the minute coverage.
In the headlines here today at NPR News, NPR's White House correspondent Gan Gagne will be speaking with Melissa Block later about what President Bush may be saying as he holds a rare primetime news conference. This comes as a U.S.-led assault against Iraq is thought to be weeks, if not days, away. That news conference will be carried live on many public radio stations around the country. Check with your local station to see if you can hear it where you're listening right now. Also, NPR's Vicky O'Hara will talk with Melissa Block about developments today at the United Nations. More developments as British Foreign Minister Jack Straw came up with perhaps an addition to the resolution that the United States, Britain, and Spain are sponsoring, a resolution seen as authorizing war. You can hear details on both of those stories later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. You're listening now to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're talking about young people and war. Our guests are Shelley Wilfong, who teaches U.S. government at Goshen High School in Goshen, Indiana, and Jane Sangster, who's vice president of MTV News. And let's get back to the phones. Our next caller is Robert, who's on the line with us in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, sir. I'm a 34-year-old college student, and the kids I come in contact with are much more informed and much more sophisticated than the folks my age. They caught on immediately to the irony of defying the UN to go in and punish Iraq for defying the UN, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that when the next election comes around, that these kids vote in droves, no matter what their political stripe is.
Jane Sangster, that's a very interesting point that Robert just made. Young people, and I know MTV has done Rock the Vote and all those sorts of things as well over the years, young people don't vote.
Well, we've had our choose or lose campaigns, you know, in the past years, trying to get them out there to vote because they, you know, it's true. They're very smart and educated on the issues, and that's certainly something that we're hoping the next election coming up will the numbers will be better.
Robert, as you talk to kids on campus, where do you think they get their news from?
Mostly the traditional news sources, and then they check it out on the web. That's the amazing thing. They listen to the same news that I get, but they have all kinds of sites that they use to double-check the facts. And I've given some opinions that I got from various news sources, and they said, no, that's actually wrong, and here's where you find out the truth.
Shelley Wilfong, is that your experience there in Goshen, Indiana?
Oh, yeah. I think the students have been are very informed about what's going on. They, you know, they grew up with the 2000 election, and then after 9/11, they're really media savvy, and I think they get their information from a wide variety of places. So,
Robert, I'm glad you've given us encouragement about the next generation.
You have to ask him to go and bring two friends.
Okay, thanks very much, Robert.
All right, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Let's see if we can, let's see if we can squeeze in Carrick, who's been very patient on the line from Waco, Texas.
Hi.
We just have about a minute, Carrick, if you could.
I have two brothers serving in the military right now over in Kuwait.
Uh-huh.
Both initially felt that when Bush was elected into office that we would go to war with Iraq regardless of 9/11, and both now are serving in Kuwait, and both don't feel like this is a just war. I guess and my whole entire family basically feels like if this was a confrontation with North Korea, it would be more justified. But with Iraq, they just don't feel like, you know, Saddam Hussein is a big enough threat to our country to be going to war.
But you suspect that your brothers will do their job if asked?
Well, we talked to them yesterday, and both said when the time comes, they'll do what they have to do, but neither feel like it's justified.
And Carrick, thanks very much, and I'm sorry that's all the time we had for you, but we appreciate your call.
Okay, sir.
Appreciate it. Shelley Wilfong, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Shelley Wilfong teaches U.S. government at Goshen High School in Goshen, Indiana. She was with us from the studios of member station WVPE in Elkhart, Indiana. Jane Sangster, I know you're busy, and this is a very troubled time for us all. Appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
Jane Sangster on the phone with us from New York City. She's vice president of MTV News. When we come back, as Bill Clinton and Bob Dole get ready to bring their brand of political debate to television, we'll hear advice from two veterans of the TV debate format, former Senator Alan Simpson and former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich. They'll both be on the line with us next. And you can talk to them, too. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Join Ira Flatow on the next Science Friday as the talk turns to healthy aging. How can scientists help to make the golden years a little easier? That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation Science Friday.